If you're over 40 and want to be the best version of yourself, Fit Over 40 with Coach Clarence is here to help. Clarence Ferguson is a seasoned loan officer, fitness expert, personal chef, and entrepreneur who leads a revolution of men and women who want to live their best life going into middle age. Inspiring dialogue, challenging topics, and industry leaders are here offering tips and how-tos to improve your life. Now, here's Coach Clarence.
Welcome to Fit Over 40 with Coach Clarence, and it's a wonderful day. A little overcast out here. It is not hot. First day of September, and life is good. In studio, I have Pamela Hughes of Pamela Hughes Coaching, and she is a returning champ. Last time we talked, we kind of talked about where she was. I want to go a little further back to see how she got to where she is now. So tell everybody who you are besides what I said, obviously.
Yes, I am Pamela Hughes. I am a certified life coach and weight coach. I am a former talk show host in Phoenix, Arizona, and have been in media for 20 years. Stepped away from that a few years ago to, well, feel better. And I think so many people in life just want to feel better. So that's why I'm drawn to this work. That is why I am a life coach, to help people feel better.
Gotcha. You said you wanted to feel better. What were you going through? Was it the crazy schedule? Was it just the, you know, the hustle and bustle of being on air and that kind of stuff?
Yes, yes, and yes. All of the above. Working mom, right? So I didn't just have a job. I had a career. I was the only female talk show host in Phoenix, Arizona. The only one, right?
Male-dominated.
It's a male-dominated industry, right, which also has challenges in and of itself. And when you are paid to have an opinion, especially in today's environment, it can get quite intense.
I have a less stressful route. I have an opinion, but I don't get paid for it.
Yeah, man.
So it's a little easier to have an opinion.
So when you're trying to balance being a mom, being a wife, having a career, having a high-pressure, high-stress career, it takes its toll.
Sure.
And news in general takes its toll.
Right.
I know so many people, especially over the last few years with elections and politics and with coronavirus and COVID, with Black Lives Matter, with all of these huge stories and things that we've been dealing with in this country, feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And when you feel overwhelmed about the news, you get to turn it off and step away from it. But that's when I had to turn it on.
Yeah,
and I had to lean
engaged
into it and get to know all about it. And I knew that the news was having an impact on me, a negative impact. I mean, news tells you when things go wrong in the world.
Right.
It doesn't tell you when things go right.
Right.
It doesn't tell you all the planes that land safely every single day. It tells you the one that didn't.
Exactly.
Or all the kids that get home safely from school every day. It tells you about the one that didn't.
Sure.
And that took its toll. And so for me, I found myself with a panic attack in a Walmart parking lot. And I knew that it was because of the work I was doing. Just that weekend, it was there was a shooting at an El Paso Walmart, and I happened to be in a Walmart when I got all the notifications from my boss and all the different news organizations. And there was something that changed in me being in a Walmart with my husband and my daughter when I could imagine what was happening in a Walmart just a few states away. And I found myself like totally enveloped in that story all weekend. And then that Monday and that Tuesday and that Wednesday, I had to talk about it for 3 hours nonstop. And on that Wednesday, I had to go back to a Walmart because my daughter's birthday was coming up and she had picked something out in the toy aisle that she wanted. And so I had to go back and get it. And I wasn't even thinking about the news. I was just doing my thing and I pulled into a Walmart and my chest just like tightened up. I couldn't breathe. I thought like my heart was going to beat out of my chest, and I, for the first time in my life, had like a full-blown panic attack. And I knew that it was directly correlated to my work. And that's when I didn't go the traditional route of a therapist. I see so much value in therapy. I've been to several different therapists in my life. They are tremendously valuable, but I didn't need a therapist. I needed coping mechanisms. I needed tools. I needed skills that I had never learned to help me through this difficult season of my life. And that's when I found coaching. And through coaching, I was able to develop these skills, get these tools to take back control over my life and what I had control over. I had given so much of my power to the news and my job and the people around me, like willingly just giving that away. And what I was feeling was the effect of that. So when I learned to take that control back and own it is when the freedom and the relief came. And once I learned that for myself and how powerful that is, like I'm in my 40s, right? I didn't learn this stuff until my 40s. And I wanted to share it with everyone else because there is so much relief and there is so much freedom out there. People just don't know about it.
And so then you decided, okay, I'm going to get out of media and go into coaching.
Yeah.
Did you do any training for that?
Oh my goodness, yes. So I went through certification. So it was a year-long process. And through that process, I also got my own coaches because I needed to manage my mind. We all have blind spots in our life that we can't see. And so when you can have someone lovingly point them out to you and question them, it allows you to become aware of them so that you can make a decision as to what you want to do next. And so building a business, you know, changing your identity. I mean, that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I spent 20 years in media and now in my 40s, I'm going in an entirely different direction. And there's an identity crisis that goes along with that.
Did you find that some of your initial clients were intimidated because you were in the media?
Yeah. You know what? I offer a free mini consult so people can go onto my website, PamelaHughesCoaching.com, and experience some coaching for themselves to see if this is something.
Videos of just kind of a session?
No, I actually coach you. You can sign up with me so that you can experience coaching with me.
So you get like a 30-minute.
Yeah. Okay. So, because life coaching is one of those things that people are like, oh, I've heard about it, but I don't really know what it's about and if it's for me. So I give people the opportunity to experience it, to see if it's something that they like. And there were several people that will sign up for consultations and they'll be like, I used to listen to you on the radio all the time. And it's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's also like, it's a testament to them that they believe that this work can help them, that they take that step, that they move forward towards a solution, even if they are a little nervous.
Absolutely. How do you help them overcome that?
How do I help them overcome
being nervous?
Well, I mean, that's their feeling and they're entitled to it. They're allowed to be there. And so I just show up as myself, try to be as friendly and kind as possible, because that's what I am as a coach. Mm-hmm. I'm there to see my client or potential client, hear them and love them. And so that's my job. And so that's how I show up, and how they receive that is entirely up to them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the life coaching. What are some challenges of being a life coach?
Challenges of being a life coach is feeling like I have to fix it for people, because that's what we try to do. Most people get into this work because they want to help other individuals. And I realize that I can give tools, I can coach, I can point out the blind spots, but it is entirely up to my clients as to what the results are. I am not in control of their results. And that can be a difficult challenge for me because I want to help, I want to fix. I have to understand that everybody goes through their own journey and that they have to experience certain things and help them along the way with what they make those things mean.
Gotcha. I've heard from therapists and people who do coaching that a lot of times they're not changing people. They're getting them to say the things that's already there. They just have to get it out of them.
That's part of it. Yeah, absolutely. That is part of it. And it's getting to the why.
Mm-hmm. How do you get them to that why? Because a lot of times with like me as a coach and trainer, I get people to that aha moment, and then I get them to say what's already there, but getting them to find it, then the change happens.
Yes, exactly.
Go, you know what? I'm really the person who's stuffing this food in my face, and I shouldn't be, you know?
Because that's where the power comes
once
from.
Once they have that.
It's ownership.
Owning it.
Really, yeah, what that absolutely. Comes down to, Clarence, is ownership. We've been conditioned to blame other people for the way we feel. It's their fault.
Everything
do this.
Everything is Laura's fault, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what?
If you don't like it. Just so you know, email her. Don't email me.
Oh, love
if you,
it.
If you don't like anything about the podcast, it's Laura's fault. You wake she's up late, here, your like, car doesn't start, it's Laura's fault. Works
blame
for me. Blame Laura.
I'm used to it.
Okay. All right. So talk about that a little more because I'm finding over the years, really coaching is really asking questions that get to a certain answer that the person goes, oh yeah, that's it.
Exactly. Coaching is being curious. And as a coach, I want to know what's in my client's mind. That is so much more important than what's in my mind.
Sure.
So coaching, there is a lot of questions. And to see where your client goes, because when you ask those questions and you're okay with that silence, you know, while someone's processing and just giving them that space to think about it and go, wow, I never really thought of it that way before. Like one of the things that happens so often with my clients, Clarence, is that they'll say, you know what, I'm not doing enough. You know what, I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough, you know, whatever their job is. I'm not good enough at losing weight. I'm not good enough at keeping my temper. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm like, okay, all right. Or I didn't get enough done is another thing. You know, a never ending to-do list. I didn't get enough done. Okay, what's enough?
It's a good question.
And they're like, wait, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if you didn't get enough done, what does getting enough done look like? What's enough? And then give them the time and the space to go, wow, okay, I don't know what enough is. Because if you don't know what enough is, how are you ever going to get it? And it's just those aha moments that they have to come to. I can't tell them these things. They have to figure that out themselves. But helping to guide along that path and know that it's okay wherever they go is part of that coaching process.
So as a coach, you give a lot of energy away, which, you know, like you're constantly hearing people's stuff. I say stuff, I don't call it problems because it's just stuff.
Yeah.
You can get rid of stuff. How do you refuel yourself?
Yeah, I have to coach myself. Just as I coach my clients, I am my number one client. Mm-hmm. When I take care of my number one client, then I can show up fully for my people. And so it is allowing myself to feel frustrated, allowing myself to feel disappointed, allowing myself to feel overwhelmed without judgment.
That's a good point.
And realizing that's all part of the process. That means I am showing up at the highest level for my clients. That means I'm doing it right. That means this isn't a problem. If I can just allow those emotions to be there, then I can move through it. What happens so often with ourselves as coaches, as well as with our clients, is we get frustrated. Frustration is a totally normal emotion that so many of us encounter on a daily basis. But then we get frustrated about our frustration. So instead of just being frustrated and allowing the frustration to be there, we compound it by like, well, I shouldn't be frustrated. This is my job. And we make it worse. So when you can just allow the frustration to be there, you can just allow the overwhelm to be there without being overwhelmed about the overwhelm or frustrated about the frustrated, you can move through it quickly and you don't compound it. Hmm. So it's about coaching yourself and it's about taking care of yourself.
I see. So is there any type of client that you maybe in the initial consultation go, yeah, I'm not messing with this? Have you ever had that moment?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a type of client. I wouldn't say that there is like a metric of like, nope, not you. But
probably wouldn't coach me. Well, you charge me a lot of extra. Sure.
You're like, all right, well, yeah, if you want coaching, this is what it's going to look like. Yeah, you know what? It is a relationship. And if I don't believe you're ready for the coaching, or if I don't believe my style of coaching is right for you, or you're not going to get the results that you're looking for, then I'm not going to coach
so them. So unpack that really quick without giving away all your secrets, mm-hmm. but what do you mean if they're not ready? Because there's that old saying, the teacher comes when the student is ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I do these mini sessions.
Okay.
You know, I actually coach in that mini session. It's a free mini session I do with my clients. And there are so many different methodologies when it comes to coaching. You'll have coaches out there that are like, no, this is just a sales call for, you know, potential clients. No, I think the best way to open up to coaching is to experience it. So I want someone to experience what that's like. And if they're open to that experience, if I ask questions and they're willing to like at least try to answer them or find what's going on in their head. If it's a constant, like, I don't know. And there's resistance. If there is massive resistance, then this isn't going to work. You're not going to get out of this of what you want. You're not ready for this. And that's okay. That is absolutely okay. You getting on the call might be the next step to becoming ready. That means you might be ready 2-3 months down the road. Cool. I'll be here when you are. We'll chat again if that's the case. But it's one of those things where you have to be ready. And then the other aspect that I think is super important to differentiate is I am not a therapist. I am not qualified to diagnose. I am not qualified to manage and treat clinical depression and anxiety, addiction. I can work with therapists who are treating those, but that is not what coaching is about. Therapists are really good at helping people who are what I call like in the hole, all right? They're having a really hard time functioning in their day-to-day life. They can't get out of bed.
Kidding.
You just raised your hand there. You're like, wait a second.
I work
is this
with Laura,
me?
Remember? Damn it, I gotta see Laura today. Get up. Get out there and be somebody.
She's gonna need coaching after this, all right? I'll give you my card,
coaching.
Laura.
Okay. Laura needs coaching.
Oh my goodness. So if you're in that hole, and I don't mean that in like a derogatory sense, it's just kind of a visual that I think helps people understand the difference between coaching and therapy. Therapy is really great for folks who are in trauma,
okay,
or addiction, or have, again, those clinical diagnoses of, you know, depression.
So when you see somebody like that, do you have somebody that you refer to? Do you
yes.
notice those things?
Yes,
and you have somebody
absolutely.
You...
Okay. And that doesn't mean I won't coach them.
How do you explain that? What if somebody really resonates with you, but you feel like this is above my, for lack of a better word, pay grade?
Great question. I would actually start to explain them again about like, you know, being in the hole and struggling with the day-to-day function. That is what a therapist is super qualified to do. I'm not. I work with people who are out of the hole and they're on like the ground level, but they want so much more out of their life. And they just don't know how to get it. And so I help you build the future you want. Therapists, a lot of times, help you with the pain of the past. A lot of times, therapists will go to the past to help you heal your present. Mm-hmm. I go, here where you presently are, how do we create the future that you want for your life?
Gotcha. Speaking of that, a lot of people do live in the past. You talk a lot about reliving the past instead of creating the future. Mm-hmm. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we all do this. And you don't need necessarily a therapist to help you with the past. I think so often our brains go back to the past. And it could be the past of something that happened 2 hours ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago. And a lot of times I'll have clients that say, you know, well, this is an old wound or this is old pain. Mm-hmm. And in a loving way, I will say that there's no such thing. The past only exists in your brain. The past is gone. What happened to you 2 years ago is done. The only place that exists is in your brain. So you're not having old pain. You're having a new thought
about the old pain
that's creating new pain.
Okay.
And once we can unpack that for them, I mean, there's so much freedom and relief from it. Because so often what happens is that the person that hurt you all those years ago, you're still allowing them to hurt you today because of the way you're thinking. And once you realize they can't hurt you unless you give them that power by the way you're thinking, you're never going to break free of that. Okay. So it's about, you know, having control over your thoughts. You can't change your past, but you can change the way you're relating to it.
Okay. So I was excited that I knew I was going to talk to you. So I want to talk to you about how people are dealing with social media.
Great topic.
Like the, you know, getting likes and being accepted and whatever comes with social media. How are you dealing with people who are dealing with that stuff? Like, because people can really shame you on social media. They can build you up. But it's kind of artificial.
Totally. It's that validation that so many people are looking for. And it's kind of a human nature to want that kind of validation.
Sure. Absolutely.
But how much weight are you putting behind it? What I work with my clients when it comes to social media or when it comes to... because really, social media is people saying mean things.
Yeah.
Really, if you just boil it down to one thing, people say mean things. Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you make those mean things mean? Because what they say is happening outside of you. It is circumstance. It's a fact. It's what's happened and you have no control over it. We think we do or we try to, but we really have no control over it. So when you realize that, okay, that's happened outside of me, that's a fact. It is a circumstance, and all circumstances are neutral. So that comment, do you have a comment that somebody has shared with you?
You know, this is supposed to be a PG show.
Okay,
my comments usually are in the DM.
Okay, no, all right.
Listen, if you're going to be on social media, you got to understand that you're going to have haters. You're going to have people who say negative things. You could do the nicest thing in the world, and someone's going to have an opinion about it. And I think social media has changed over the years because in the old days, if you had a opinion, you had to send a letter, you had to write the station and go, I didn't like so-and-so's comment or what they wore or what they said that day. Now it's instant. You can go right on their page or, you know, in a comment and say stuff. So I just weed stuff out. It's been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. I generally get positive comments. I like to joke so people are funny with me. Occasionally you'll get somebody and I just block them. I don't even get into it.
Yeah, well, that's the other
issue.
Thing too.
Generally it's their issue.
Yeah, and you can
wake up
that.
And go, you know, I'm going to make a comment on this person's post. That's your problem, really.
But you still read that comment. So what do you make that comment mean? That's what I work with my clients. So when you're looking at it from the circumstance is Joe Schmo said, I'm stupid or you're stupid. Okay. We're just going to keep it like really generic.
Those are common terms.
So like the circumstance is Joe Schmo commented, you're stupid.
Yeah.
That's neutral. That is neither good nor bad. That happened outside of you. It doesn't become good or bad until you have a thought about it.
That's so true.
So your thought about that may be, am I stupid? Why does he think I'm stupid? Did I do something that was stupid? Oh my gosh, that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. I'm a bad person. Whatever it may be, your brain starts to spin. Yeah. That's what you have control over. You don't have control over Joe Schmo or whoever else decides to comment on your post or your video or whatever it may be. You have no control over that. You have full control over what you make it mean. We try to control the stuff outside of us. We've actually been, again, conditioned to believe that, like, if we can control our circumstances, we'll feel better. Our circumstances don't create our feelings. It is our thoughts that create our feelings. And your thoughts, you have control over. So it's about getting to the thought. What did you make that mean?
Interesting.
And so that's the type of coaching I do. A lot of times it's Joe Schmo said, I'm stupid. Chances are that hurts because you may have thought that
already
yourself.
You may have already thought that, right. Sometimes a comment like that will only resonate with you if you're already halfway there.
Or you think it's true.
Right.
Because
well, sometimes
I mean, like,
it might be true.
Clarence, if I looked at you and I said, your blue hair and nose ring are really ugly. You're going to go, what the hell is this lady talking about?
I mean, I don't even know I had a nose ring.
Yeah, I don't have.
I'm thinking about it. Do I have a nose ring? Is this who I am?
Like, I don't have a nose ring. Right. I don't have blue hair. Sure. She has lost her mind.
Right. I would keep that comment.
But do you see what I'm saying? If you know it's not true, it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. But if you're kind of, you know, a little insecure about maybe your goatee, and I'm like, oh, that goatee, I don't know if that really is looking good on you right now. You're like, oh, wait.
I'm going to shave it.
Yeah, you new start getting pic. In your head about it because either you've thought that yourself or that may be true.
I think I've changed over the years how I respond because I realize when people are lashing out, there's really something going on with them.
It's about them, not
it's
you.
Really about them. And once so you figure that out, it's easier to just navigate through spaces a lot. Because people are just having bad days. Traffic, the grocery store. I mean, we see videos all the time of people losing it. So clearly there's something that has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you got the wrath of that issue.
20 years in media actually helped me to develop a pretty thick skin. Mm-hmm. And some coping tools. And one of the things that, you know, I do work with other coaches who are building businesses. And so they're afraid of posting on social. They're afraid of what people are going to think and how they respond. And one, it's like, who are these people you're afraid of? Like, who are they? Name them for me.
The Republicans or Democrats.
Right. No, usually it's like, it's just everybody.
Right.
Those people, those things. And I'm like, well, who are they? Because if you can't put a name to them, then you're lying to yourself. You're just having this like fake outrage in your brain about who these people are.
But now, don't you think a lot of it is fake outrage when you really narrow it down?
Oh, yeah. It's the uncertainty. People don't like uncertainty. If I post this, I don't know. I'm uncertain as to what's going to happen. And it's that false sense of you ever know what's going to happen. The only thing certain in life is that you're alive right now. And one day you'll die. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that is certain.
Right.
And that could even change in a moment's notice.
Absolutely.
We try to take control of all this uncertainty and spin ourselves up in the mind about what may happen or the situation or scenario, how that might play out. And we waste so much time and energy and effort on those things. If we just go, okay, you know what? This is where I'm at right now. I'm totally cool with where I'm at right now and move forward. It gives you so much more time, energy back to yourself to pursue the things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Interesting. So if you want to feel better on the inside, stop mm-hmm. trying to change what's happening on the outside. Because that's kind of what you're talking about. What are some, if someone's listening to this, what is something instant they can do to feel better about themselves? Because I always tell people change happens in a second. If you go, I'm going to stop doing X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to, it's instant. Sometimes it's we oversimplify it as coaches, but really the first change is just in your mind. I'm not going to let that affect me. I just changed.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times we measure things in big tangibles versus I just changed. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's a small change because we always try to make it relative to something big. Like I want to be rich. So we measure that as I got $1 million in the bank, you know, versus, you know what? I stopped spending frivolously. I've saved myself $20 this week. You're on that path to something better, but we tend to make it bigger. So how would you tell someone who's listening, who's sitting there going, I'm just kind of at the end of my rope here. I need to change. What is the first thing you would have them do?
Take a first step. Just do the next thing. That's it. It's kind of what you're talking about.
How do you
about.
Figure out the next thing?
You do something. You just take a step. That next thing is what you think that next thing is. Because once you do that next thing, you may realize, no, that's not really what I want. Great. Now you have information. That's not what you want. Now you're one step closer to what you do want. It's constantly just do the next thing. When we're overwhelmed about, you know, losing 50 pounds, we think about how much work it's right. going to be to exactly. lose the 50 pounds. All right. Well, then what's 1% change that you can make today
right.
that will ultimately lead you to your goal? So, for instance, I had a weight loss client who every day for lunch would go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac, like a supersized Big Mac, and like that was their lunch. Okay, great.
Just a Big Mac, not the fries.
No, it was the supersized, you know, meal, right? You gotta do the meal here. And if I were to tell this client, okay, you have to have a salad with light dressing and an iced tea unsweetened, it's not gonna work, right? But what I said to this client is, okay, next week, get it, get that same meal, don't supersize it, make it a medium size. It's a 1% change. And then the next week, it was, can we leave the sauce, the secret sauce, off the Big Mac? Like, can you still do that? It's that 1% change. If you can do a 1% change every single day, those small changes that you can actually manage and deal with, it teaches you that it's possible. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the month, you have a 30% change and you have these little victories along the way. And that's the other thing, Clarence. It's celebrating the victories, finding the accomplishments out there. So many of us don't give ourselves credit. We beat ourselves up because we didn't do enough, right? Back to the enough. I'm not doing enough to lose the 50 pounds. You know, I still had Cheetos today. Okay. So instead of beating yourself up about the Cheetos, get curious about them. Instead of judging, I had Cheetos.
Why are they orange?
No.
Why are they so delicious?
Why did I eat them? What was going on?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right before I ate the Cheetos.
Right.
Because when you're curious about it, you can learn, oh, this is the time of day I always get hungry. That's really great information.
Absolutely. 100%.
Now you can do something about it. So it is those small changes. We think we have to kick open the door and run in with our hair on fire in order to make a change. That's what so much of like self-help has taught people. When in all reality, just putting your hand on the doorknob, turning it and opening it is a huge step. Absolutely. So take credit for that.
Yeah. All right. So controversy alert. If we have some kind of controversial sound effect, you can put this in right here. People get mad at me because one of my favorite quotes in the whole world is you're in your feelings. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people take things. They immediately go their feelings. And you have a great quote. Feelings fuel your actions. A lot of times because what's the human nature? If you see something that scares you, that's a feeling, fear. If you see something that makes you feel good, that's a feeling. Managing your feelings is another level because sometimes people get angry or they take an approach to something based on how they feel versus what's really happening. If someone says something you don't like, angry, oh, I'm resistant, I don't like what he said or what she said, versus going, let me think about what they're saying, take a few seconds to process it and see. Because a lot of times when you talk to somebody after you have an altercation where there are feelings involved, a lot of times you get done talking, you're like, why the hell was I even mad about that? Because you didn't think about it first. You went to that innate, and I'm sure that's survival mode. You know, you survive by fight or flight. So tell me why feelings fuel most of our actions.
Well, because everything we want in life is because of how we think we're going to feel when we get it. When you want that job.
By the way, you got me thinking about a Big Mac now. See, I'm really upset about that. I was doing good. You brought up Big Macs.
Julie, I see your mouth is moving, but there. All I see is Big Mac, Big Mac, Big Mac.
I'm going to keep the secret sauce if I'm going there.
Yeah, but I mean, the reality is the only reason why we want anything in life is because of how we think we're going to feel
absolutely
when we get it. You want that new car. Why do you want the new car?
I want to look cool.
Well, I mean, like somebody might say, I mean, like, yeah, that's kind of the knee-jerk kind of reaction to it. But let's say like, I want a new car. Why do you want a new car? Well, because I want to get to work. I need to get to work. Okay, why do you want to get to work? Because I want a paycheck and I want to be able to pay my bills. What does paying your bills and having a paycheck mean? What means that like, I can take care of myself? What does taking care of yourself mean? It means that I can be secure and confident. So you want the car because you want to feel secure and confident. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's a little deeper than just like, hey, I want to feel cool. Why do you want to get married? Why do you want a partner?
That's a great question. Why do you want to get married? No, it's terrible. If you're married, be happy.
Just be happy.
Just be happy.
Why do you want your kids to get good grades? That's one that I deal with a lot with my clients.
Is that for you or them?
It's always for you.
Yeah.
Why do you get mad when your kids get a bad grade?
Well, you're thinking of, let me just, as a parent, and you're a parent as well, for me, you don't want your kids to get bad grades because you've seen examples of not doing well in life where it could lead. So you're projecting some of things you've experienced on them. But you, I mean, you don't want to tell your kids it's okay to get an F. You know, it's okay to fail. But you do want to tell them it's important to succeed to certain limits, you know, but.
But it's also understanding that the reason why you want your kids to get a good grade is because you don't want them to fail.
Sure.
Okay. Why don't you want them to fail? Because if they fail, their life is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And if their life is going to be hard, how does that make you feel?
Right. Because it always goes back to
you. It always comes back to you. Yeah. Like, why do you want people to behave differently around you? Because of how you want to feel. Why do you want the job? Why do you want the promotion? Why do you want the car, the relationship? Everything we want in life is because of how we think we're going to feel when we get it. So it's no wonder that we're in our feelings. Feelings drive all actions. So if you're feeling, they're kind of like the fuel in your brain. So imagine if you're feeling empowered and confident and encouraged, your brain is going to work differently.
Sure.
That fuel is very different than frustrated, overwhelmed, disappointed. You're going to do different things. When you're confident and empowered, you do different things than when you're overwhelmed and discouraged. That's why it's super important to be aware of your feelings. Because in that argument, like you talked about a little earlier with whomever it may be, you know, you're in your feelings. Yeah, when you're angry, you do certain things. You yell, you scream, you whatever it may be. But if you are kind of like reserved or patient or just kind of like holding tight, you're not going to yell and scream. You're going to listen. Right. So those feelings are what drive your actions. And that's why they're like super important.
Great, great. You're dropping a lot of gems here today, and I want people to use your services. We're not going to have you just give all the gems away today. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, I love giving away the gems because I feel like the more I can help people, then the better life is. And that's why I got into coaching. I got tired of telling people everything that was wrong in the world. I wanted them to start figuring out what's right in their own world. So if you're interested in what I have to say, I have a podcast of my own. It's called Unstuck Your Life. And so I drop a lot of knowledge on that as well. Feel free to check out that podcast. And if what you were drawn to what I had to say today, if you listen to that podcast and you're drawn to that, then you can also get a free mini session with me, like I said, and see if coaching is right for you. If you're like, I need some help and, you know, I don't feel like I need therapy, because that's a huge thing. You know, a lot of people think the only way to get help is through therapy. I thought that for so many years until I found coaching. You can go to my website, PamelaHughesCoaching.com, and right there on the home screen, there is a place to get that that free mini session, and we can chat. And then also on all the social channels, just check out Pamela Hughes Coaching. I keep it simple for people. You can find me there.
A question I get a lot, because I've had you and a couple other people coach in here, there's a concern of confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is us. That is where I am, like a therapist, mm-hmm. where the only person I discuss what's going on with you is you. Okay. That's it. Now, if you come to me and you are working with a therapist, or I refer you out to a therapist and you still want to coach, I will ask, you know, is it okay if your therapist and I kind of tag team and work on this together? Because it's usually where you're going to get the biggest results, but you always get to say no. Okay. Like you're the expert on you, so you get to make those decisions. I'm just here making offers and opportunities, but it is confidential. Absolutely. This is a relationship, and you have to feel safe and secure in that relationship. And how could you possibly feel that way if it's not just confidential?
Excellent. Anything big coming up for you?
I am revamping my program right now. Yeah, I have, you know, I had several clients go through it. Just like we're growing as individuals, I'm growing as a coach. And I am changing some things up to get, you know, better results and bigger transformations for my clients. So that's what I'm working on right now. Super stoked about that. And it's going to be epic. I'm excited.
All right. Cool. Thank you again, Pamela. It's always interesting, your insight, just to listen to you and see what you provide to coaching. And actually, a lot of people have changed their mind about coaching because of listening to you. So that's a compliment to you.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are a lot of life coaches out there. Let me do my air quotes. No one can see me, but I'm doing air quotes. And their approach is, you know, a lot of them just get certified over the weekend.
I mean, gosh.
I've seen Groupon.
I have two
life coaches.
I have
like
two.
For $77, you can be a life coach. So I'm glad you put a year into this, and you could tell just from things you're saying, it helps people. So
it was a year that cost me more than a year of college.
Wow!
And not that money is important, but it is, and it's an investment that I made in my education. Because if I am an awesome coach, then you're going to get awesome results as a client. So it's an my investment in my education is an investment in my clients. People are coming to me to help them with their life. I take that super seriously. And that's not something that you're going to be able to do over the weekend on a $70 course.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on, and maybe I'll come on your show and you can.
I love it. Yes.
My producer kind of sucks. You know, she should have done that a long time ago. But anyway, we're working on. She needs some coaching herself. Anyway, everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Fit Over 40 with Coach Clarence. Thanks for tuning in to Fit Over 40 with Coach Clarence. You can follow me on all platforms where you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Fit Over 40 with Coach Clarence. You can also find me on YouTube at Coach Clarence TV. Like and subscribe so that you get all the videos as soon as we drop them. And last but not least, remember the golden rule. If you can't be good at it.